and good morning, recruit. Welcome back to the M00M Resistance. You have tuned in to M00M Theater on the Air. I'm your host, Geographic, and this is Episode 6, Chapter 6, 00. Chapter 6, Episode 6, 00. The Quant transportation truck was well on its way, carrying Gold Star and her container along with several others. The average truck was more like a train, carrying 10 to 20 additional container loads. It floated effortlessly across the vast desert terrain and occasionally crossed paths with the remains of pavement that once represented the post-American highway system. Transportation no longer relied on roads, who saw their last usage in 2028. With the exception of inexpensive trash-built DIY electric motorbikes representing some of the poorest chipped, most people walked or took public transpo provided by Oneworld. The rich who serviced the Fade Corporation, or Fade's minions depending on how you want to classify them, had more futuristic means. Autonomous drone air travel for short distances, and vehicles known as spherical floats for long distances that took them wherever they needed to go at Mach speeds. Quant transportation trucks had replaced traditional 18-wheelers due to their overall efficiency and lower cost of unmanned operation. No vehicles required human operation anymore. The trucks transported heavy items in general supply chain, mostly consisting of consumables and common resources. No tires, no gas, just leveraging the natural magnetic fields of Earth and a fuel cell-type battery that gave them the additional power needed to float across the landscape to their destination. Fate satellites overhead beamed a signal that instructed the path. Think of it like trackless train tracks. Quantum trucking really was an admirable Fate invention, and for many years it did significantly help reduce carbon emissions, making for cleaner air. The moonlight marked Gold Star's path, and set the mood as they progressed on their route to Fate 27A, the state previously known as Florida. They technically didn't need to go to 27A, they feasibly could have gone anywhere, and it's not as if there was a specific reason for choosing that location beyond Kevin's improv. After the incident at the port of Los Angeles, the escape trip had mostly started off in silence, but seemed to finally be at a point of conversation.
Good morning, friends. Soak in that beautiful sunrise and make sure to stay hydrated today. I'd like to point out that we've been on the road now for 7 hours, and you've both spent approximately 5 hours and 42 minutes staring at your shoes. Look, I understand, especially you, Kevin. That was quite an intense altercation, even for my species. But I do think it would be beneficial for us to talk through the next steps,
the Moom suggested.
Kev, he does have a point. Are you ready to talk about it?
Gold Star asked with motherly sincerity.
Yeah, sure, all of this is normal. Let's just keep telling ourselves that. I know it's a lot easier for you and Slimer. None of you shot someone in the head.
To be technical, I did eat multiple people.
But you see, that's like some normal shit for you, which is exactly why I'm not even close to being happy about this situation.
Come on. You're seriously a hero. You helped us escape and did what had to be done. You said it yourself. We would have been chipped or dead if they got to us.
She's right.
Yeah, alright, fine. I'll play along. It's not like I got a choice anyway, because the guy I just killed transmitted my face to Fate. So the real reason I'm sitting here all quiet, other than the fact that I never killed someone, and I didn't know what murder feels like until now, is because my life is over. I'm a fugitive and it's a wrap for me.
You know what they say, acceptance is the first step.
Roger, pull up Fate News and see if it's true.
Gold Star, I have pulled up multiple articles that indicate Kevin has been compromised.
I knew it.
Roger's speaker was pumping out traces of diluted blue goo with each sound wave, and he sounded absolutely terrible. A one-worldwide alert had been published featuring a crisp copy of Kevin's portrait from the incident. It read, Murder. Wanted. Dollar symbol. Fate reward. Suspect armed/dangerous. Avoid contact. Some elements of society, like the overall aesthetic of a wanted poster, had remained timeless and hadn't changed. Except these new posters were broadcast in real time to 85% of the global population. In other words, all Clarity users. Within Fate's mind-eye interface, as soon as any person in the network's eyes physically came across the suspect in reality, the built-in facial recognition tech would identify the positive match and automatically report a visual feed and geolocation back to Fate. This was just one of Fate's many methods of absolute control and order. In exchange for forcefully being a snitch, the Clarity users who spot the suspect would receive an instant coin payment for assisting in the investigation. This made being an unshipped fugitive very inconvenient, and also encouraged a whole new breed of passive Clarity bounty hunters. A decent job compared to some of the other communal job options.
Roger, scrape and pin any additional news hits related to Kevin and present them on my phone and computer screens in real time. And please tell me what's required to service your speaker so you don't sound so creepy.
Roger. It will require new parts, but I don't currently recommend as priority given our current situation.
Guys, I have something that I need to admit.
Here we go. Here it is. He's finally gonna eat us.
I think I'm starting to understand Kevin's sense of humor. My admission is I've inherited all of Roger's processing abilities. It'd be more efficient to abandon fixing him. Just ask me future questions. I can relay the information instead. Plus, as a bonus, I sound British.
I sadly agree.
Wait. You inherited all of his abilities? How?
You do about to hack our brains next.
Put simply, I can inherit the abilities and forms of most things predominantly composed of metals, as long as I'm within proximity of my initial host body. You would consider it a download.
Interesting.
This is incredible. So you're literally Roger now. You know everything he knows? Could you do the same thing to, I don't know, a laptop or a satellite?
Yes, to an extent. In the case of Roger, I've already done an intake of all the information that was stored on his internal drive, and as long as he's plugged into the network, I can work through him to pull information stored elsewhere, just like he can. But if he were to get disconnected from the internet, well, that would be the limitation of my reach.
Okay, that's insanely fucking cool and incredibly useful.
Facts.
This is like our team just got superpowers. We're superheroes now. I mean, think about it. Giant shipping container creature that can transform and eat bad guys. That is also a super hacker who can bond with electronics. I knew we were destined for greatness.
Slimer, that's pretty dope. I'm not gonna lie. We might need to get you a cape.
The Moom's eyes looked happier than ever.
Wait. So you like me?
Yeah, I'm starting to, I guess.
I just had a terrifying thought. You say you have all of Roger's data? So even the photos from my hidden folder?
Yes, that's correct. But I took one look and determined that absolute safekeeping is required.
Oh God, ew! So you've seen them?
Yes, I've seen more of you than I expected.
Dude, I don't even know how to react. You better not dox my nudes.
Yo, Slimer, I'm starting to like you more and more. Make sure you send them pics my way if you really want my friendship.
Stop!
Sorry, Kevin, you pervert. Her secrets are safe with me.
We need to change topic before I puke.
Why puke? Are you experiencing motion sickness? This trip is quite smooth.
Change the topic!
Okay. Let's change the topic. Right, let's all share 3 quick details about ourselves so we can form a real team bond. On my planet, that's a common form of making friendships, even though it's achieved through touch by linking our parts. Given the circumstance, I don't know if that's the best idea right now.
Wow. Okay. Absolute weirdness aside, this whole morning got weird. And that idea feels very corporate and forced, but right now, I totally love it. Anything to move on, you go first. And let the first detail be your name, since we still have no clue what it is.
On my planet, we don't really have names. We don't actually speak to communicate. My time here on One World has been the most I've ever spoke.
Aye, that explains a lot. And please don't call this One World. This is planet Earth. You're on Earth.
So if you don't speak, how do you communicate?
On my world, the mycelial compound that we're birthed from lives on almost every surface, including the topsoil. As long as we're physically making contact with it or any metal that proxies between and also touches us, it allows us to communicate directly, mind to mind, like what you would call a large network.
Sounds a lot like fake Clarity.
It does,
she replied, internally voicing some suspicion.
We have to name you. It's only right.
But Kev has already named me Slimer.
Pet, you right. That's your name.
No way. That name started as a joke, and look at him. He's great. We can't do that. When I look at you up there on the wall, I clearly see two eyes, and then you've got these two funny M things next to them. They look like claws or hands. And if you were to read them as letters in English combined with a bit of leet speak, it would read as M00M. Moon.
I'm down with Moon. That sounds dope. And when we do like secret missions and shit, we can call them 00 or M00M, like, you know, James Bond. What you think, Moon?
It was clear to Goldstar and the creature that Kevin's feelings towards the situation had shifted, and he was getting back to his baseline personality with a positive outlook.
M00M? It sounds nice. I like it.
Just as the conversation was picking up camaraderie traction, the speed at which the Quant truck was traveling made a noticeable shift. So much so that Goldstar slipped backwards into her chair, and then rolled further backwards several more feet across the container interior, knocking into Kev. He caught her in motion.
Whoa.
What was that?
I don't know. It seemed like we stopped. Roger, where are we? Pull up GPS.
Right, I'm Roger now. We would appear to be in a city called Silver City in the territory F8-47A.
Yeah, I know about this place. Over 100 years ago, it was a mining town. Where it is that Fate extracted the last of its natural resources and then turned it into a supply point for nearby areas. There's a bunch of Clarity casinos. That's kind of like the main draw here. And most likely, we just docked at a charging station for the truck.
Kevin's internal knowledge of being a longshoreman and having worked directly on the cranes in the supply chain world was starting to pay dividends.
We do need some supplies, and we'll be needing food, water, and weaponry. In a place like this, there's got to be someone who sells weapons.
Hey, Moon, post in the BBS. Let them know that we're a group of travelers seeking escargot.
It appears escargot are snails. That sounds tasty. They look gooey. I love goo. I'm a big fan of getting my palate gooed up.
Nah, bro, that's disgusting. Escargot is a code word. Code word for, like, slugs, weapons. You get it?
Not really, Kev. What does slugs have to do with weapons? It's posted.
Kev, are these charging docks manned or automated?
See, that really depends. Moon, bring up all cameras.
Roger,
said Roger.
Why are you still doing that? I thought he was turned off.
I just like the way that he sounds. Truth be told, I miss him a bit.
With a rush of blue illumination, Moom's face he was speaking from, that was present on the inner container wall the entire time, faded away. The entire container structure seemed to have been converted into an LED screen of sorts.
This is insane.
Yo, this command center just got a major upgrade.
Moom had just revealed yet another power, the ability to convert the entire interior of the container into a screen displaying the outside world, as if the walls were entirely see-through, or not even there.
Look, it seems like there's only one Fate worker over there. This should be easy. Gold, you got this.
You don't want to come with?
Yo, are you crazy? I'm made. I can't leave this container. Everybody out there is a chip head. Just think of me as a mission commander for now.
Okay, mission commander. But it's not like I can just take a walkie-talkie into town. That will look very weird. So I guess you're not going to actually command much of anything.
I'll keep the container safe and chill with Moon. Enjoy Silver City.
Just letting you know, guys, there's no replies on the BBS for escargot yet.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on my phone notifications while I'm out there in case anyone replies. And if there's a place to do a deal, I'll fill it out and see if it's safe.
You got enough Ethereum to do a deal?
Ethereum was the currency of the unchipped, the unspoken resistance. The rest of the world operated on Fatecoin. In fact, at one point, pre the formation of One World, everyone was forced to sacrifice their country's native currency in exchange for Fates. But those who withheld and weren't part of Clarity and Fate's centralized blockchain were incapable of using it. Among the unshipped, ETH was a precious commodity.
I've only got 3 ETH. Probably enough to stock up on about several weeks of food, but not enough for any serious weaponry if we manage to find a source. But I've got an idea. They still use physical poker chips at casinos, right?
Yep. And I think I know where you're going with this.
Good. I know what I'm gonna do.
Goldstar slung a black backpack over her shoulders and made way to the door.
Let me open that for you. It'll make less noise if I do it.
The locking mechanism lifted gracefully, and the doors opened.
Damn, that's cool. You got all type of tricks up your sleeve, huh, Zero-Zero?
The dusty ground and hot sun offered dry desert air, which met her immediately upon setting foot outside.
Hey, Gold, I forgot to say, you've only got 6 hours till the truck's charged up and on the road again. It's an 8-hour charge time, and we've already burned at least an hour.
Roger that. Thanks, guys.
She stepped further into the unknown of Silver City as the container doors sealed shut. The port of Los Angeles was now many miles away from Gold Star and the camp's current focus, and it was busy as ever. All caution tape in areas which had been cordoned off by agents had gone back to normal, almost giving the complete illusion that nothing had ever happened. Crane operator Mike had started his day just like any other. He slurped down his plant-based cup of coffee, which truly tasted of soil and rotten mushroom, his favorite morning pick-me-upper. He slobbed gluttonously on a thick, moist slab of insect protein that Clarity masked with flavors of English muffin, ham, and hollandaise sauce. Fortunately for him, he was chipped, and Clarity was able to manipulate the protein flavor, tricking his brain into thinking it was diner-quality Eggs Benedict. It truly was another regular day, until his door was opened by his supervisor. His supervisor stared him down, and via mind link, without moving his lips, transmit and spoke.
Mike, there's a gentleman here that needs to speak with you.
Mike sharpened up, spitting out a small amount of coffee as the supervisor stepped aside, introducing Agent Q. Q continued with mind link.
Hello, Mike. I'm Agent Q. Going forward in this conversation, you'll refer to me as Sir.
A bead of sweat dripped from Mike's oversized head. He had seen the wanted poster of Kevin earlier in the day.
Yes, sir, how can I help you?
Mike inquired. When Mike utilized Mind Link to speak, he was far more put together and fluid than when he used his own mouth to speak to Kevin the day prior.
You've surely seen this gentleman's face.
The wanted poster respawned in Mike's mind's eye.
Yes, sir, I have.
In fact, he was here with you in this very room last night, correct?
Yes, sir, he was.
Did you know that moments after leaving your office, he gunned down one of my colleagues in cold blood?
Well, sir, I don't know those details, but I do know his name is Sean, and now he's a wanted man.
The wanted poster adjusted and rebroadcast, now featuring the name Sean in all caps.
Now, Mike, it's very important you answer the next series of questions truthfully, because your answers will dictate your own outcome. Are we clear?
Yes, sir. Of course, sir. I'm 100% loyal to fate.
Mike trembled.
Last night, you received an infraction for publicly speaking the name of a state. I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that wasn't your normal behavior. Our records indicate you've never had a single infraction.
No, sir, it's not. I repeated the name of the state the suspect had said.
I figured that much. Now, why did he say the name of a pre-One World state?
He told me that my supervisor, who's here with you right now, had an urgent change to his shipment manifest, and that he needed a container to go to Fate 27A. That state, sir,
Mike responded, counting on his honesty and compliance freeing him from any potential issues.
That's bullshit,
the supervisor barked.
Clearly. And very interesting. Thank you, Mike. What container did he have you move?
Mike used Clarity to quickly look up the logs for the shipping manifest. Both Agent Q and his supervisor were able to see this occurring in an augmented view in front of them through Clarity.
That would be container 1328, sir.
Two more questions, and you're free to go. Do you believe it would have been possible for him to get into the container to hitch a ride?
No, sir, that would be impossible. That container was already off the ground before he even left my office. I had called in a vision officer to fix his malfunctioning chip.
Malfunctioning chip? Ha! Ah! You, sir, are a special kind of stupid. He's chipless. No wonder you work as one of the filth of this port. I query Clarity to pull your IQ, but I already know it's absolutely pathetic.
Q spit on the ground and Mike tensed up, his face ripe with fear. He assumed his compliance would set him free, but Q's reactions made him gulp and swallow audibly.
Final question. What did he say was inside the container?
Nervous as all hell, Mike responded from his real mouth.
Oranges, sir. He said oranges.
Agent Q spoke with his.
That's how I know your only purpose is to serve us. Oranges to 27A? Red flag for anyone who isn't a complete fucking failure. Open Clarity,
he thought in his mind.
Freeze leg motor functions.
Mike's face tensed up and he drooled as his legs locked into place.
Sir, sir, I told you everything I know, he linked.
You did, and yet despite your cooperation, you violated multiple laws and rules. Bring in the rig.
A Vision officer approached with a surgical IV pole. Dangling from its frame were two clear plastic fluid bags, one filled with a dark brown jelly and another with water.
No, no!
Freeze mouth,
Q ordered as Mike's face muscles halted. Q then multitasked, connecting with Agency through Clarity.
See, I got your answer. The outbound container was 1328 and it's headed to 27A. Let's track and intercept.
Copy that, Q. Listen, there's no tracking on the container itself, but it registered on-chain at a charging bay in Silver City just 3 hours ago. Its next stop is at the Port of Houston. Now, I've sent a team to intercept at the midway point in San Antonio, and if that creature is somehow on board, consider it captured.
C vanished from Q's mind's eye.
Mike. To say what comes next is my favorite part of the day would be an absolute understatement.
The Vision officer unsheathed two needles connected by tube to the IV bags.
Jellified insect protein and water. That's all we feed you anyway. Now you don't even have to chew.
The Vision officer inserted both IVs into the veins on Mike's arms. The smallest drop of blood dripped down, and he didn't bother wiping it. Mike's supervisor winced while thinking, better him than me. His thought accidentally broadcast to Q within the open mind link session.
And don't worry, Daniel. I've got something for you, too. You weren't getting out of this unscathed. But before we discuss that, it's important Mike understands what's going to happen to him.
Q knocked a clenched fist against Mike's head as if knocking on a door.
In there, pal? Rhetorical question. I don't care. You're going to stand here, motionless, with all of your motor functions frozen. Everything frozen except the function necessary to relieve yourself. Take this time to think about your mistakes, to think of your family, as you're trapped in your own body, soiling and defecating yourself day after day. You're going to stand here until we find him, so I suggest you get comfortable being uncomfortable and remind yourself that this is entirely your fault. Until we have that bastard, your supervisor Daniel is taking your place. Doing your job. Oh, and Daniel, not only are you getting demoted and taking his place, you'll also be responsible for mopping up every last droplet of piss that runs down his leg and hits the floor. They say that after the first week, essentially everything becomes piss. So for both your sake, I truly hope we find him soon. Thanks for your patriotism and cooperation.